Without charity, the spiritual edifice collapses. We understand this clearly from the Epistle of St. Paul, who tells us that no matter what good work we should perform, even if we should hand over our bodies to be burned, that it profits nothing unless we have the virtue of charity. We can see this in the well-known crash of the space shuttle many years ago, where the rocket was for the most part working, but because of a little but very significant thing, a malfunction, it blew up. Or in a plane crash, where the aircraft works for the most part very well, but because of a little but very significant thing, the whole aircraft is brought down to the ground. So the spiritual life needs the virtue of supernatural charity as its link of perfection, as St. Paul calls it, without which it crashes to the ground. Because by it all other virtues are supernaturally ordered to God. By it the whole being, the whole human person, is correctly ordered to God. Without charity, the other virtues lose all of their value before God because they are not directed toward God. Rather, they are performed for some other motive and not for the love of God. And they become worthless in the order of salvation. Even if I should hand my body over to be burned, even if I should give all of my goods to the poor, it profits me nothing if I have not charity. Thus, the good works of those who are in the state of mortal sin, although these works are naturally good actions, cannot get a man to heaven, since they are not supernaturally good, since they are performed without the supernatural virtue of charity. Understanding then that this supernatural virtue of charity is absolutely necessary, we then ask, well, what is it? What is this virtue that is so necessary, that we must have? It is primarily the love of God. All things have their order. And the order of the creature to God is love. That is, the creature must see God as the supreme goodness and love Him above all other good things. This is charity. This orders the creature to God. Without this virtue, the creature is not ordered to God, and he is in intrinsic disorder and cannot attain God. But charity, in order to be meritorious, in order to have value for salvation, must be supernatural charity. That is, it must be that love of God in the soul which is infused by God Himself along with supernatural hope and supernatural faith. And this is acquired by baptism. Baptism of water, baptism of blood, baptism of desire. God infuses in the soul these supernatural virtues. They are lost with mortal sin. they are regained with confession, contrition, absolution. But unless those virtues are standing up in the soul, that soul is in spiritual death and is incapable of doing anything for itself. Thus, charity is based on supernatural faith. That is, it is a love of God known as He has revealed Himself, not known naturally the way philosophers know Him, but known as He has revealed Himself, known through the supernatural virtue of faith. Without the virtue of faith, therefore, there is no supernatural charity. St. Pius X called it a monstrous error to say that you could have charity without faith. And this is essentially the error of the Novus Ordo, as it was the error of modernism. The fundamental error of the Novus Ordo is this, that God is found in every man. And it is the function of religion to excite you to look interiorly and to find God in you, and to express the experience that you have of God in you exteriorly. Now, while it is true that God is present in all things, it is not true that He is supernaturally present, that is, present by His grace in all things or all men. And if you say God is in all men, what you do is make God natural and the presence of God natural. Just like in all men there are eyes and ears, so also there is God. And this is to destroy the nature of God. But we see this error come out in the Novus Ordo when we see them say that all religions are true. We see John Paul II participate in all religions with the idea that all men are striving to know God in them, that all these religions have a certain value, and as Vatican II says, the Holy Ghost works through these religions in order to bring men to God, to bring men to Himself, to sanctify the human race. Because they see the function of religion as simply an excitation of the people to see God in themselves. And that is a very serious error. This is why the Novus Ordo liturgy is filled with so many enormities, like balloons and clowns and all kinds of strange liturgies. Because the purpose of the liturgy is to draw you out, to help you to find God in yourself and to express yourself. This is why you see in Novus Ordo catechisms not images of the Blessed Trinity or of Our Lord or Our Lady or other objective dogmas of the Catholic faith, but rather you constantly see pictures of people. You turn the pages and there's pictures always of people. And the idea is that through interacting with each other help each other to find God. The priest at the Novus Ordo, in interacting with the people at Mass, helps them to find God. And as you can see, it's an entirely different religion from the Catholic religion. Starting with that fundamental error that God is found in all men, as if there is no difference between the presence of God in all things by His omnipotence, by His omnipresence, and the life of grace in the soul which comes to us from the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. As if there's no difference between those two things. And what the Novus Ordo does is confuse the natural order and the supernatural order. It confuses two things which by nature are very separate, and which error, the confusion of the natural and supernatural order, leads to pantheism. That is, the idea that all things are God. And this, by the way, is very much related to New Age ideas. The New Age idea is that there is some force in you, and you should strive to discover it, and that these forces link you to other people and to other things. New Age is pantheistic in its thinking and is modernistic in its thinking. Rather, we must first know God supernaturally before we can know Him, before we can love Him supernaturally. So the faith, supernatural faith, is absolutely necessary for supernatural charity and for salvation. How then do we practice this virtue which is so necessary for salvation? Charity is to will good to someone. To will good to someone. And how do we will good to God? He is the source of all good. He needs nothing. He is goodness itself. How do we will good to God? We do so by what is expressed in the Our Father. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These are the words of God. This is the prayer that God himself composed. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is to say, may the life of heaven be transferred to earth. May the life of heaven, where God is adored, where his name is sanctified, where his will is done by the angels, may that be transferred to the earth. This is the way that we love God. We love God, therefore, by adoration, by devotion, piety, prayer, the reception of the sacraments, and by obedience to his commandments, the perfect submission to the law of God, even at the expense of our own lesser goods, even at the expense of our own lives, if necessary, we must love God. We see in the martyrs how they handed themselves over to death, rather than disobey God by denying his holy faith. This is what charity demands. It is a radical virtue in the sense that it demands so much of us and demands that we give all of ourselves to it. For it is the virtue that links us to God. And without it, we cannot be saved. And the secondary object of our charity is our neighbor's good for God's sake. This was the repeated command of Christ and of the apostles. Love one another as I have loved you, our Lord said at the Last Supper. And he also said, if thy neighbor has something against thee, go and leave your gift aside and reconcile yourself to him, and then, once you have been reconciled, come back and offer your gift at the altar. God will not accept our love of him if we do not manifest our love of him by doing good to our neighbor. And this was the sin of the Pharisees, an external love of God, but at the same time, an interior pride and contempt of their neighbor, and these people merited to be called snakes by our blessed Lord. And make sure that you do not confuse the supernatural charity of your neighbor, which is fundamentally the zeal for his salvation, with the naturalistic charity of the modern world. Your charity must be inspired by faith, and the good that you will to your neighbor must be the good that is dictated by the faith. An example is the recognition of false marriages. The worldly charity would have you recognize the annulled and remarried marriages in your families and friends, or divorce and remarriage, outright divorce and remarriage. And you are accused of being uncharitable when you do not recognize them. But are those marriages recognized in the kingdom of heaven? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And can you possibly say that it is charity to bless the sins of your friends and relatives? Is that how the kingdom of heaven descends to earth, and where earth is made like unto heaven? Is that the will of our Lord Jesus Christ as expressed in the Our Father, and which prayer is daily on our lips many times a day? An example of naturalistic charity is Mother Teresa. On the one hand, she does many naturally good acts of charity by alleviating the sufferings of the poor. But at the same time, she says, if in coming face to face with God we accept Him in our lives, then we are converting. We become a better Hindu, a better Muslim, a better Catholic, a better whatever we are. And then by being better, we come closer and closer to Him. What God is in your mind, you must accept. But I cannot prevent myself from giving you what I have. There is not a more perfect example of naturalistic charity than that, because those words are not in accordance with supernatural faith. For the faith is firm. And by the faith we adhere to the Holy Catholic Church firmly. And by the faith we see everything that is not the Catholic faith as false. Yet this person is held up to be a living saint by the Novus Ordo Church. We shall be judged on charity. The level of our charity in this life shall be the level of glory in heaven. It is simply transferred at the time of our death. What we achieve in charity here will be glory in heaven. For the rewards in heaven are not all equal. Our Blessed Lady enjoys a much greater level of glorification than a St. Thomas Aquinas, because her charity was greater. Our judgment will consist in the weighing of our charity, the intensity of our charity, not necessarily the number of our works. For 1,000 idiots do not equal one genius. And 1,000 lukewarm actions do not equal one fervent act of charity. And thus people who died young, like St. Aloysius Gonzaga, St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, St. Bernadette, even though they did not have a long time to perform many acts of charity, merited much more and a higher place of glory than many other Catholics who lived into their 80s or 90s and performed a long series of mediocre good works. It is the intensity of charity, not the number of good works, that is set in the balance by our Lord Jesus Christ. Woe, therefore, to you who live your lives in the state of mortal sin, who a few days after the confessional fall back into the same mortal sins and go weeks and weeks and weeks or months or years in those mortal sins. Your lives are a waste, truly a waste. They are profitless. They mean nothing. It is better that you not live than live in mortal sin. For the only worth to your life in that case is your eventual hope of conversion. That is the only string you're holding on to, is your hope of conversion. Saint Ephrem said that these will be the thoughts of those who have lived their lives in mortal sin on their deathbeds. We would not buy oil when we had both time and the means to do it. We could have made provision but did not. We had time but made bad use of it. We had plenty of opportunities but did not embrace them. We seek them now but cannot find them. Our poverty confounds us. But there are no means, no hope left to us to remedy it. Nothing remains for us but to say farewell to that blessed country for which we were created, and into which nothing can enter that is defiled or unadorned with virtue. We have been weighed in the balance and have been found wanting. We are in a deplorable state, without virtues, without good works, without merits, and therefore we shall be without heaven, without God, in misery forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.